Now keeping up with our regular Down on the Farm series that we've been doing for the last few weeks and hope to maintain throughout the course of the summer. We take a look at some of the farm systems for the Cubs, the White Sox, and the Brewers and see how some of the prospects are doing in these teams as they progress throughout the summer and look at what the future holds for these specific teams. Today we have a special guest. He is Mick Gillespie. He is the voice of the Tennessee Smokies, the Class AA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs. And Mick's been with the Smokies since 2007, but he's also contributed to the Cubs broadcast. He's been play-by-play man and producer in some spring training work for MLB.com. And he also has contributed to CSN Sports Chicago as well. So, Mick, thank you so much for taking time to be with us this morning.
Yeah, anytime. And, you know, you talk about not just the Cubs, but the Brewers and the White Sox. They're in the league, too. So, you know, I've seen all three of the teams that you guys cover and, you know, and their prospects. But, you know, obviously, you know, my affiliations with the Cubs AA team. So, you know, but it's fun to be able to kind of get a look at, you know, not just the Cubs, you know, but who they're playing every day and kind of get an idea of what you're going to see at the next level.
We talked to Garrett Green, the voice of the Biloxi Shuckers, a couple weeks ago. And so, and you obviously said you've seen them. I guess, give me a kind of an overview now that you brought it up. Give us an overview of what you've seen of what the White Sox and the Cubs have as well as the Cubs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen a lot of the White Sox. And I'm going to tell you that Eloy Jimenez is, he's the real deal. And he's going to make an impact at the major league level. The size of the impact, I'm not quite sure about. But, you know, I've seen Chris Bryant and, you know, Addison Russell and Javi Baez and Paul Goldschmidt. You know, you talk about some major players that have come through the league since I've been here. Mm-hmm. And he's one of them. And that's no doubt about it. I mean, I wonder, you know, long term, if we don't look back at that trade one day and go, you know what? We, you know, Cubs got a starter, pretty good pitcher, but, you know, the White Sox got, you know, a franchise player because he's got that type of talent. So we'll see. But he got promoted after a half of the season in the Southern League to AAA. And just to be honest, I mean, as good as the Smokies pitching staff is, they had so much trouble with him, and I think everyone in the league did. And so, you know, there's a selfish part of it where you're like, okay, well, it was good to see you. you know, the White Sox have some other guys that can hit for power, but he's next level talent.
Well, tell us a little bit about your own Smokies, and what do we have this year for the Smokies on for the Cubs, the future of the Cubs? I saw last week on the All Star game you had six representatives, so that's a good showing.
Yeah, we had six guys that got voted to the All-Star team, and three of them participated. But I would say this, when you look at where our team is right now, we have a lot of players that will be able to help the Cubs in spots. You know, I don't see Eloy Jimenez types, you know, Chris Bryant types, where they're cornerstone players. But this spring training gave us a real good look at how the Cubs have built a very solid foundation in their system, and it's when you can plug in David Bodie when KB's out for 10 games, and he'll come up there and you know, and not embarrass himself. Matter of fact, help the team win. You know, get some hits and play solid defense and know where to throw the ball and know how to run the bases. And I think that their scouting department has done an excellent job of going out and finding intelligent ball players that do it the right way and kind of get it, you know. They've had, you know, I mean, you look back to when Theo took over and the guys that they ended up with. I mean, they had some of the premier prospects in all of baseball. And they had to trade some of those guys. Gleyber Torres with the Yankees, I talked about Eloy. And they kept a lot of those guys, too. KB, you know, and Addison Russell and Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras, and so you look through the roster, and it's a bunch of guys that were developed and homegrown guys. Pitching's been the big thing that the Cubs, and you know this, have focused on. Theo was looking ahead, you know, years ago, 2 and 3 years ago, to where the organization would be today and trying to anticipate where the need would be, and the need's pitching. So they've drafted a lot of pitching, and it's showing up as far as talent goes. I mean, the Smokies probably have the best pitching, most pitching talent that they've ever had. I mean, going back to, you know, since the Cubs have been the affiliate, you know, they've got six starters in the rotation now. For right now, I don't know how long that'll last, but six starters in the rotation, and you know, I'd say, you know, four to six of them, which would be the entire group, have a shot, which wow. is you know, not something you can say every year. They've got some interesting guys. They have some guys like Thomas Hatch, who made the All-Star team, that kind of have that big league look to them, can throw hard, will challenge you, and you watch them and you go, okay, yeah, this guy, you know, he just looks like he's a major leaguer. You know, he was the guy that they took in the third round when they didn't have a first or second round pick because of signing Hayward and Lackey. You know, so he was really like their first round pick. But they have some other guys. There's a guy named Duncan Robinson who's 6'6". He's out of Dartmouth. And he got there right after Kyle Hendricks left. And, you know, he's striking out a batter per inning, and he doesn't walk anyone, a lot like Hendricks, and he's really smart. And you're going, you know, what if the Cubs had two starters from Dartmouth, which would be just phenomenal, right? It'd be amazing. But same type of principle where he's going to pay close attention to what the other team's guys are doing and, you know, and try to get them out. We had a closer earlier this season that got promoted to AAA named Dakota Mekas. He went to Michigan State, and he's you know, he throws, you know, 94, 93, 94, but he's got something that scouts call extension, you know, like where he comes off the mound and by the time he releases the ball, you know, he's got an extra 5 miles per hour, at least perceived that way. And he was really good and threw a lot of strikes. We had a guy last year that still just absolutely intrigues me, and that's Dylan Maples, who pitched in the big leagues yesterday. He finally got called back up again. You know, and Maples was on the verge of being released by the Cubs a couple of years ago. He found this amazing slider. It's the best I've ever seen. Any level of baseball, even major league teams, I've never seen anyone that can throw a slider like he can. Can throw for a strike every time. I heard David Ross talking about him last night and talking about that slider on the ESPN broadcast during the Cubs game. I mean, and even him, you know, it's like a plus-plus, I didn't say plus-plus-plus slider, and then he throws 98 on top of it. I'm just hoping that, you know, for him, I think sometimes he doesn't realize how talented he is, you know, when he does, you know, when he kind of gets that final part of development, that he's the back-end piece that the Cubs need right now to complement C.J. Edwards and Brandon Morrow and, you know, and Pedro Strop and those guys. So we'll see, you know, but will that happen? I don't know. But he's got the most talent and that I can ever tell you that I've seen pitch at any level that I broadcast the games for. So, you know, we've got some other guys that are coming too, you know, other pitchers. Keenan Thompson made his Southern League debut. It didn't go too well for him, but, you know, he was drafted last year by the Cubs really high, and he has good stuff and did really well in Myrtle Beach. You turn around and you have this big, you know, I almost picture this in your mind of, you know, like this cylinder, and you drop it into a funnel, you know, and all these pitchers are in there. Someone's going to come out the bottom and be good because the Cubs have too many of them. That's the question. But the other part of this, which is difficult, is that the Cubs have an excellent amateur and pro scouting department, you know, led by Jason McLeod, who I think is one of the real rising executives in baseball. And honestly, I mean, if he didn't have the relationship with Theo and Jed that he does, you would think that he would be a GM somewhere and be running an organization himself, you know, instead of being like the third guy on the team. But that's what makes, you know, those three special is their relationship with each other and their trust and all that stuff. And he's great. And they've done a fantastic job of, you know, of drafting and signing internationally position players. You know, now the challenge is, you know, hey, finding pitching. That's a tough thing to do because it's hard to predict how a pitcher is going to develop and if they can stay healthy. You know, normally you go out and you get great athletes, you teach them how to play baseball, or you get great baseball players and just kind of let them go. And then, you know, and then you hope that it works out like it did for the Cubs in 2016. You know, now it's a bunch of pitchers and guys getting hurt. Adbert Alzolay, their top prospect, is really good, but he can't stay healthy. Oscar De La Cruz is on the Smokies right now, and at times he looks like, you know, gangbusters, and at other times he struggles. Is he going to be a starter, or is he going to be a back-end reliever? I think that's a question that's up in the air, but he's got amazing talent. You know, it's a different type of development when you're trying to figure out how to get pitchers to the major leagues. And then the other part of it is getting pitchers to the major leagues that can stay in the major leagues, you know. So this year's draft, they went back to position players. We're kind of right in the middle of this, you know, in Double A. Mm-hmm. It's on the way to Triple A. It's been an A ball of this Cubs wave of pitching talent.
One last question here, quickly. Who, and I know you listed a lot of people, so maybe you might have addressed it during the course of things, but I'd like to hear one surprise guy. I mean, we talk about, like, De La Cruz is the number three prospect on the MLB rankings and that, and Hatch is number seven. You've got several, because I think you have six players that are on the top 30 prospects. But give me one guy that nobody really knows about that you think may be a big surprise down the road for the Cubs.
Yeah, I mentioned a couple of them. Dakota Mekas, he may make it to the major leagues this year. You know, big kid, went to Michigan State, I talked about before. He wasn't a high draft pick. They started this new rule, you guys know this, which is pretty ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to get on my soapbox too much, but in the minor leagues, when you go into extra innings, I call it a ghost runner. Mm-hmm. A guy shows up at second base. So there's a guy at second base before you even throw a pitch. Well, depending who's up next, you may walk that next guy to, you know, like say you're in the bottom of the inning, you know, you may walk the next guy. And you know how we do that these days?
Right.
We point.
Yeah.
So there's two guys on base and you haven't thrown a pitch yet. I was in a game where they had a wild pitch on the first ball. So they point it twice and all of a sudden the bases were loaded with no outs. You know, on one pitch. I mean, think about that, okay? Yeah. So as ridiculous as that is, you know, welcome to baseball rules in the minor leagues 2018. I'm bringing this up because when Dakota Mekas was the closer, we played in, I think, 14 of these extra inning games, and he pitched in a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so you would turn around as a guy at second base, and Mekas would get the out so fast, the guy would still be at second base in the innings over. You know, and some of these innings, you know, like they turn out to be big innings because that first guy scores and it just, you know, like I said, you might have the bases loaded and throw one pitch, you know? So it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, you as a pitcher, your back's against the wall and you haven't even got on the mound yet, you know?
Sure.
This kid would come out and just he gets out so quick and easy. He throws strikes. He changes speeds. He's a tough guy to really square up. And our manager, Mark Johnson, looked at me one time. We were talking about Mekas, and he gets a lot of swings and misses. And he's like, you know, it's hard for those guys to hit what they can't see, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like he's got this Houdini ball or something. So I think for my... You know, my money, I'd say, okay, that's one guy who's kind of coming out of nowhere and could be an impact player, you know, kind of a off-the-radar prospect. I talked about Duncan Robinson. I think people kind of know about him a little bit. And the only reason is because Kyle Hendricks went to Dartmouth. And, sure. You know, and Kyle's such a great guy. He's kind of mentoring Duncan and available for him if he needs to. But, you know, off the top of my head, I still think Dylan Maples is the guy, and I'm sure he's on the prospect list now, but not everyone believes in him. You know, and it's like, and there's different reasons why. I mean, we're all flawed as humans, you know, like we don't.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like you look at it and you go, okay, well, this guy's got all the talent, but, you know, how's the mental makeup? And, you know, this guy's got great mental makeup, but how's his ability, you know? Dylan Maples has the talent to be one of the game's best major league relievers.